Welcome back to Relatively Damaged by Damaged Parents. Today we have Charity Majors with us. She is an author, inspirational speaker, a soulful mindset coach, and a savvy business coach. She has coached thousands of women around the world and given them the tools to step into their greatest potential, grow their confidence, align their purpose so they can grow their income, increase their influence, and make a major impact. Anybody who wouldn't want all of that. After struggling with her own limiting beliefs and journeying through the loss of a child, Charity was given the gift of unshakable confidence that we all are here on purpose. So she has this confidence, we're here on purpose, every single one of us, and we have a purpose. So that's pretty freaking amazing if you ask me. And with that belief, along with the tools she's learned along the way, she equips others to unlock their purpose and step unapologetically into who they are meant to be and how they are meant to live out their destiny. She's also a former TV host, the host of the popular Meant for More podcast, and author of a number one new release bestseller, Meant for More, Igniting Your Purpose in a World That Tries to Dim Your Light. You can find her at charitymajors.com.
Today's topic may include sensitive material, which may not be appropriate for children. This podcast is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended as advice. The opinions expressed here were strictly those of the person who gave them. Do you feel like a meditation failure? I know I did until I tried the iOS Breath and Heart app put together by the good people over at the Institute for Applied Meditation. I kept hearing about the benefits of meditation and was frustrated because I just couldn't sit there noticing my breath for any length of time. Thank goodness there's more than one type of meditation. I'm so glad this worked for me. Will it work for you? I don't know. Download the app and try it out. Breath and Heart from I Am Heart. Hey everyone, Angela Talent here, host of the Relatively Damaged podcast. I'm the author of Poems from a Lost Soul by Angela Talent. As you may know, Cicero once said, a room without books is like a body without a soul. Well, I say a soul without poetry hasn't lived. Buy my book on Amazon, Poems from a Lost Soul by Angela Talent.
Charity, welcome to the show.
Angela, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to chat.
Yeah, so many accomplishments. Did you always feel that, because I know you have a journey to the confidence, but did you always feel like all of that was inside of you?
It definitely was a journey. I would say I grew up with a great family, great parents who really just poured belief and just really encouraged me, and I have two younger brothers that, they just really encouraged us that we could do anything and that we had different giftings and different callings and different purposes that were placed on our life. And, but what was really interesting was kind of getting into like middle school and high school. What I found was the fact that I was receiving from my external environment was really different than what I'd experienced at home. And I found like I felt like I didn't ever really belong. I ended up being like too sporty for the pretty girls, but too pretty for the sporty girls. I was really smart and graduated with multiple degrees, but I'm a blonde. So I was like the butt of all the blonde jokes, and just kind of got picked on quite a bit, but I was friends with the popular kids, but also friends with kind of the fringe groups, if you will. And so I didn't ever really felt like I belonged. And so because of that external feedback of like, gosh, well, like, I feel like I'm smart, like I'm getting multiple degrees, I'm graduating with honors, but people keep making fun of me, or, you know, maybe I'm too bossy, or I'm too much. Maybe I'm not enough over here, but I'm too much over here. And like, what does that look like for me to actually show up in a room, like authentically me, but getting this back every time that I showed up? And so it definitely was a journey of me ending up like actually like hiding in the corner of rooms, so afraid to say anything, not wanting to offend anyone, like afraid that I was going to be too much and I was going to be whatever over here. But then I didn't really know who I was. And well, I should just like act like this girl over there because they seem like they liked her. And so I actually went through this kind of somewhat of an identity crisis of not really knowing who I was for a long time.
Well, and it sounds like you could relate to one, and you could recognize that you could relate to everyone, but you didn't really have a tribe. Is that kind of what I'm hearing here? Like, maybe you knew all the popular kids, but you didn't get I don't know. Maybe you got invited to all the parties, or maybe you didn't get invited to any of them, but you knew everyone type thing.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely got invited, but it was more like I was, I mean, and it's funny, like looking back, these seem like really non-important, like very first world issues. And I talk about this in my book, actually, to where they are, there's somewhat of like these little bullet hole wounds that can happen, right? Cause we can go through parts of our journey, right? Like, well, relatively damaged. We can go through these parts of our journey where it's like, we get these, like these bull wounds, like of these repeated lessons, like just jab after jab, after jab, after jab. But you know, you add up 100 jabs, that might not seem like a big deal, but they end up being a big deal.
Like getting kicked to death by rabbits.
I've never heard it put that way, but sure.
Well, they're supposed to be this innocuous, the not really injurious type of rabbit. I mean, kick, I would think. And then, but you get so many of them and you're down for the count.
Yeah, for sure. So I got a lot of those like bullet hole size wounds growing up, and it started to really affect my self-confidence, and it started to really affect, I had a lot of limiting beliefs. I had a lot of negative self-talk. I had a really low self-esteem. And so, like I said, I ended up being the girl that hid in the corner, like so afraid to like even say anything in fear of offending someone or someone not liking me. And, you know, then that got perceived as, oh, Cherry's just the girl in the corner that doesn't say anything. And now she's just a big beep. Like,
oh no. So like this
self-fulfilling prophecy of, that just wasn't working. And so I ended up actually going through a lot of somewhat of like a big spiritual awakening and a big healing journey where I really started to kind of unpack a lot of those limiting beliefs and really remember who I am, who I was, what I'm here to do, the things that I love, the things that light me up. I almost joke that it was like this, if you've ever seen the movie Pretty Woman, where she, yes, where she's like, I don't even know what eggs I like. like I went on like the, you know, or like the eat, pray, love journey. Like, I don't even know. Like, I had to really go on this spiritual journey of just really masking and unlayering a lot of what everyone else said I should be and who I should be and how I should act. And eventually I stopped shoulding all over myself and then stopped letting other people should all over myself and began to really unapologetically show up as who I was, who I am, and who I was created to be and the things that I wanted to do. And it made a big, big difference.
Getting to that point though, it sounded like it started with the trauma. I'm thinking it was the trauma of losing a child that started you unpacking all this, or was it something else?
It didn't. It was something else. It was actually me diving into the world of entrepreneurship.
Okay. I love surprises.
Yes, to learn along the way. And then what was really interesting when we did lose our baby about 5 years ago, it was this really interesting journey of this, what I like to call like these larger traumatic events, almost like that cannonball sized wound. And that was definitely the dark night of the soul, right? So these other bullet sized wounds, these are the unpeeling of the layering. I like to call those somewhat of the, almost like an HGTV, like you're remodeling your house, like you got to take off the funky wallpaper or redo the bad wiring. Right? Like with our brain, like redo the bad wiring of the limiting beliefs. And then you are remodeled, right? You're this great remodeled house, like back to your original, like original beauty of how it was made. And, but those cannonball sized wounds, those larger traumatic events, like it was a loss of a child for maybe someone that's listening. It might be abuse. It might be just different things like that, that can happen, that those really affect as you journey through those are definitely like the dark night of the soul. And so that brought up even deeper issues where I started to really ask the questions of, man, like, why am I even here? And why am I even alive? And I just remember sitting on the floor, ugly crying on the bathroom and sitting in a puddle of tears and asking these big questions. And for me, it's God. For you, fill in the blank, for you, for whatever you believe. But God just came and met me and told me that I wasn't broken. And in all of my brokenness, that my body couldn't keep my baby safe, he told me that I wasn't broken. And in all of the shame and isolation that I felt, you know, he didn't give me a 7-step to get out of my whatever, like most of the personal development world does. But it was this really beautiful, it was actually like an impartation, because I think that we can teach what we know, but we can impart what we experience. And it was this beautiful impartation that through the loss of our baby, that I actually was imparted with the gift of fully, wholeheartedly, every cell in my body knowing that we are each a living, walking miracle on this planet. And it's not a mistake, Angela, that you're here. And it's not a mistake that I'm here. It's not a mistake that for you that's listening, it's not a mistake that you're here on purpose for a purpose. You are a divine dream wrapped in human skin walking on this planet at this exact time in all of history. And that is not a mistake. And there are things that you're called to accomplish. And there are things that you that light you up that you're meant to do. And like I said, I think that we can teach what we know, but when I'm able to really work with people in different speaking and engagements that I have, that there's a different impartation of really igniting purpose that happens. And that's what has made all the difference.
So it sounds like you're able, instead of like to just give like, here, do these steps. It's a gift of showing someone or helping them to figure out how to experience that they are their own gift in a way. Am I?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I was like, gosh, I don't know how to explain this, but I think that was beautiful. That worked out because, but how do you help? I guess, how does one help another person besides being in the room and sharing that energetic frequency? And how does one really get to understand their value?
So I like to say that a lot of the lessons that we've learned throughout our life are actually that they happen for us, not to us, and that they're actually linked to our purpose. So for me, a lot of, right, like I mentioned, those bullet-sized wounds, or for you, it might be like that repeated lesson that comes around over and over and over again, right? It might be a different teacher, but it's the same lesson. It's like, oh, like I'm in like this kind of a friendship again, or this relationship again, you know, even though it's a different person, or this lesson again, like I'm being rejected again. And so for me, what was really interesting was the repeated lessons as I started to look back over my life. Some of the repeated lessons were that I felt like I didn't belong. And so one of this, because I know the sting of what it feels like to be rejected and to not feel like I belong, on the opposite side of that, one of my superpowers, one of my gifts is that I'm actually really, really great at fostering and creating community and creating tables where, especially women, because I've been rejected a lot and hurt by a lot of women, and I actually know what it feels like for that sting. And so I know what it feels like to create the opposite of that. And so I create tables where women know that they have a seat at the table, that what they bring matters, that they are seen, that they are known, that they are heard, that they belong. And so because of the opposing lesson that I received multiple times throughout my life, that I didn't belong, that I didn't have what it took, that I wasn't enough, that I was hurt and rejected by women, I'm actually really great at the opposite of that, of really creating community and allowing women to know that they are seen, loved, valued, heard, and they have a seat at the table.
It's almost like, it sounds like you had to walk through that fear of the rejection and the this and the that, and all of that, because you knew that and you knew what that was like. And even though it might have been scary, you had to actually walk through that fire. And instead of sitting in the rejection, it was walking through the fire to say, you know what, I'm going to create something new. That instead of, I'm going to avoid having conversations with these women, I'm going to avoid engaging, it was almost like you had to walk toward what you were afraid of.
Oh, absolutely. I'm a firm believer that we get the choice, right? But when we allow fear to be our guide, right? That's actually is what is what's next on the docket, is the next level of where we're being called. And it, and our limiting beliefs and our fears will typically yell the loudest right before our next breakthrough.
Yeah. That frustration, that fear, that anger, maybe it can be a trigger to, oh, I'm almost to another breakthrough. But how easy is that to remember when we're sitting in it, right?
Oh, for sure. Not easy. So we like take a step back and we're like, oh, yes. Okay. I'm done. I don't have to, right? We get to choose again. I love the saying that we get to choose again, right? Like we always have that choice to go down the rabbit hole, the spiral, the trigger, the internal monologue, or we get to choose again and we get to say, actually, I'm going to think a different way, or I'm going to show up a different way. Because if we keep doing the same thing, right, that's the definition of insanity. If we are doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting a different result, that's the definition of insanity. So if we want a different result, then we have to think a different way, or we have to take different action. We have to get in different rooms. We have to be around different people if we want a different result.
Yeah. And that's scary or awkward and weird.
Can be.
Yeah. Like, I think that's the thing, like sometimes to gain that confidence, because I mean, that's what I'm really getting from you, is like that this confidence is something that we all have inside of us. But in order to get there, we can't shy away from it either. We have to just accept it, I think, is what you're saying, is like, we just do make that choice. Okay, I'm going to choose confidence right now. I'm going to do this, even though I'm also scared.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what is the power of unity versus uniformity?
I love this. And I think it's a really interesting topic, especially in today's volatile world where everyone is offended about something and has, and the keyboard warriors are just going for it.
I like how you said keyboard warriors. I think that's a fantastic description of what's happened. It's almost like there's this need to instigate and cause. And I'm thinking some of these people are probably laughing. They think it's funny to create these scenarios that are causing other people significant pain. But yeah, keyboard, I don't know if I want to call them warriors now.
Well, these, whatever you want to call them. Yeah, I think that in this world where it can be, you know, which everyone, they have an opinion, which is great, like have your opinions and have beliefs. But I think that there is this confusion of what it looks like, that people are saying unity, 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 and they're expecting that everyone needs to think like them, look like them, do everything exactly like them, have the exact background like them, like have the same beliefs as them, vote the same way as they do, right? Like all this different stuff compared to, and that's what they're quote unquote saying, the thinking what unity is, but that's actually uniformity. That's actually where everyone, right, like dresses the same, looks the same, like repeats the same, you know, like a robot, like does it, like that's uniformity. And what actual unity is it's when we come together despite our differences. It's when we come together and say, Angela, you might believe this and I might believe this, but that's okay, because there's space for you to believe what you believe. I'm going to hear your story and why you believe that, and I'm going to honor you and your story. You're going to maybe hear my story and why I believe this thing, and you're going to honor me and my story. And regardless of the beliefs, whether or not they are different or the same, that we can still come together as human beings. And that's what actual unity is. And I think that people are getting them confused. So my encouragement for you, if you're listening to this, and maybe you are getting, whether you are our keyboard warrior, you're being attacked by some keyboard warriors, or you're whatever that might mean, because it's really big right now on social media, is to understand that we are all not meant to look the same. We're not meant to dress the same. We're not meant to have the same message. We're not meant to believe the same. We're not meant to vote the same way. We're not meant to have the same background. And that's okay. There is space for all of it. There's space for the messy middle, and there's space for your journey, and there's space for my journey, and there's space for your beliefs, and there's space for my beliefs. And that at the end of the day, that we can still come together and say, yeah, and you know what? We are all spiritual beings on this human experience, and there's space for all of it. And I honor you, even if our beliefs are different.
Yeah, which I think is really hard. I mean, even I think I'm trying to remember what book I read. I want to say it was one by Adam Grant, but even in Congress, we've got political people, they're not crossing party lines. Or we go to the doctor's office and we just assume that the doctor knows us. And they get a whole 15 minutes with us, right? Like, but because we're, and I know those are two different things. Just follow me for a second here. When we do that, when we assume that someone else knows who we are, and then we don't voice that, we don't say, this is who I am and this is how I stand, other people get to make that decision for us. So a doctor could give us, if we're not going to say, well, I'm experiencing this, or this, and the doctor could say, go do this, but they're not really hearing us. And I think that the same thing is happening maybe in Congress. They're not listening. So because we're not finding a way to be unified in our differences and accepting that no matter where we're at, people are different and they have different experiences of us. And then we need to stand and say, okay, and this is also something you need to know about where I stand. But at the same time, being open. See, this is something I've really been working through for a little while here, trying to figure out how do we find that balance in sharing who we are and what we are, and allowing and giving room for others to share who they are and what they are or what they believe in. And I think that's a lot of what you're talking about. And you just got like a totally like part of who I am in how I just got to that.
I love it. It's a great thought process.
Yeah. How does Angela think this way? Very convoluted or complex. I'm going to say complex. I'll go to complex. I like that word better.
You did a great job connecting the dots.
Well, thank you. But you know, like, how do we bring, with all of this, because it's really hard when you're on social media, if someone makes an attack, right? Or their keyboard warrior self comes out and they say something that triggers something in me. I'm in of the thought process that something is a trigger in me for a reason. And maybe I need to take a look at that and not blame them. But I think right now, in at least from what I'm seeing on social media, it becomes these people are attacking. And it also can turn into that though, right? So where's the line.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is for each of us to determine. I think that's up to us as to whether or not what our boundaries are, what we are open and willing to put up with or not put up with. And that is a personal decision, right? Like better than a significant other or your best friend, like what your boundaries are or what they should be, especially when it comes to other people saying or doing things to you. And I think that that's the thing when it comes to the keyboard warriors and the arguments online. What's really interesting about communication is that the majority of communication is actually nonverbal, and right, it's the inflections in the voice, and it's what my eyes do or what my body language does. And when so much can get lost in translation with text on a screen, and I actually have a full chapter devoted to this in my book, Meant for More. It's because it is such a big deal. There's so much that's lost in translation when it comes to just typing words on a screen. You know, if you even think of something as simple as hello, right? If I say hello, period, you're going to interpret that differently as if I said hello, exclamation point, right? Or hello with a smiley big face emoji, or a hello with like the puking emoji, right? Like you're going to...
Or even based on the last conversation you and I had, I could interpret it that way from that perspective. And if I walked away from that conversation feeling icky and you walked away feeling good, your interpretation of the hello you're sending me is very different from the message I'm receiving.
Yeah, for sure. And a lot of that is just based off of how we perceive things. And it's based off of the filters that we receive things. If the filters that, like I said, that I had to really work on growing up was a lot of these limiting beliefs that I didn't belong. So for example, when I was like maybe 6 years old, I had gone to a new school and I was out at recess and I had asked some of the girls if I could play with them. And they said, no. And for my six-year-old little heart, right? Again, these are one of those little bullet hole wounds. Based off of that rejection, I then attached a belief that said, I don't belong. These girls don't like me. When who knows, maybe they were playing a certain game and it only allowed four players and not five, right? Like we have to like start to be able to tell ourselves different stories as a part of how we go back and heal some of those different beliefs that we pick up. But once we pick up those beliefs, then we start to filter and see everything else in our life through that belief. So it's almost like if you've ever gone shopping for a car and you see that car everywhere, right? We have this thing in our brain, it's called confirmation bias. And so when you're focused in on something, when you have an emotional experience that attaches a limiting belief to it, then all of a sudden you're going to say, oh yeah, there's that car, because your brain is confirming what you believed in, that you wanted. And then when it comes to those limiting beliefs, all of a sudden, oh, I don't belong. Now my brain is like, yep, here's where another place where you didn't belong. Here's another place where you were rejected. Here's another place where girls didn't like you, even though, right? And here's the opposite for me, even though I had also on the other hand, I had great friends and I was in sports and always was surrounded by other women and was always on teams and was always surrounded by community. But because of those hurtful experiences, I attached those beliefs and those were the things that I noticed. It was the rejection that I noticed. It was the hurt that I noticed. It was the not feeling like I fit in that I noticed until I went back and changed the story.
Yeah. And changing that story is hard because I would think a lot of that is implicit bias comes into it.
I think it depends on the story. And I think it depends on how willing someone is to heal. Mm. So it can be hard or it can be really easy. Like there have been things in my life where it was easy to heal from and other things were hard. And it was just because of where I was at and what I was willing to release or to let go compared to hold on to.
Yeah. And I'm thinking you've had things you also thought were healed, that then something happens and you find yourself healing again, or at least investigating again, maybe from a new perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely layers to healing. And what I like to say, right, it's like you kind of go around the mountain. Oh, here we are, going around the mountain again, going around the mountain again. And I'm back at this lesson. But what I find is that as we go around the mountain, we're always also going up the mountain, right? And so if you can imagine almost like an ice cream cone, how it whirls up. So you might circle back around to that same problem, but now you have a higher perspective. And the next time you go around, you're going to have a higher perspective. And the next time you go around, you're going to have a higher perspective. And you're going to realize that that same lesson, that same that has come back around, that you're not as triggered and that you're thinking about it differently and that you're responding differently. And as you start to notice that, then you can know that you're on the path to healing.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. I like that. Okay, what are three top tips or tools if someone is either currently going through a struggle or they're reprocessing an old struggle? What would be the top three things you might say, try this?
Well, a big thing. So I talk about this in I have an Unshakable Confidence Challenge. It's a 14-day on-demand course. And I love this acronym that I give, and it's called VIA, V-I-A. And VIA is actually road in Latin. So it was a fun little correlation of like that you're on the journey. But V actually really has to do with your vibration and your energy. If you can imagine almost like an upside down birthday hat, at the bottom of that birthday hat are things like shame and guilt and grief and all of these lower vibration feelings that science is now able to measure. That if you're feeling shame, science can actually put these, you know, like these sticky nodes on your brain, and you will literally, your body will give off a certain frequency and it matches shame. And it's the same with fear. It's the same with apathy. It's the same. And as you go up this upside down birthday hat, if you can imagine, as it gets wider towards the top, those are things like courage and joy and peace and love. And so as you are able to recognize, okay, well, maybe I'm in a shame cycle, but I'm going to shift my vibration, I'm going to shift my energy, I'm going to shift the focus of what I'm thinking about. I'm going to learn to start to heal those fear-based thoughts. I'm going to learn to start to heal that shame. I'm going to learn to start to, right? Like we're healing these lower vibrational energies that can come from us, from our thoughts, is as we start to move up these frequencies, then that can make a huge difference in how we show up and who we attract and the rooms that we're invited to and the message that comes out of our mouth and the thoughts that we think, because from our beliefs come our thoughts, from our thoughts come our words come our habits, from our habits come our actions and our destiny. And so when we're able to really change those thoughts and those beliefs, everything changes on the outside. So it's a really internal job, inside job. The next one is I, and that one is your intuition. And this is really that voice of truth inside. So a lot of times have learned to, like growing up, we maybe have learned to not listen to that voice of truth inside, or maybe not trust that voice of truth inside, right? We've got our intuition. And then for me, like I said, I believe in God. And so God speaks to me. And again, fill in the blank for you. Don't get caught in the weeds of me saying that you need to believe in God or anything like that. But really listening to that voice of truth inside and really learning how to trust it is huge, because that voice of truth will always lead us towards what it is and invite us in. What it is that we need to be able to fulfill our greatest calling and our destiny. And then A is abundance. And that is all about really coming from not just a healthy money mindset for abundance, but also abundance in what it looks like for friendships, abundance of what it looks like for business, right? Like, oh, if I'm doing good in my business, it's not going to take away, right, from this other woman that's doing really good in her business, right? There's enough for everyone. There's enough to go around, that it's all happening for us. All these different beliefs when it comes to an abundance mindset that really shift things in our external world. So VIA, vibration, intuition, and abundance. Those are really great places to start as you're working on replacing those fear-based thoughts and working on those limiting beliefs to gain unshakable confidence.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Thank you so much, Charity Majors, for coming on the show. You can find her at charitymajors.com. She's also on Instagram and where else was the other place I saw it? You're everywhere.
Yeah, I'm mostly on Instagram. Come hang out with me on Instagram, Charity Majors.
Sounds good. Thank you so much, Charity.
Angela, thanks so much for your time and just to be able to pour into your audience. It was an honor.
It was definitely an honor and a blessing. Thank you so much.
Do you feel like a meditation failure? I know I did until I tried the iOS Breath and Heart app put together by the good people over at the Institute for Applied Meditation. I kept hearing about the benefits of meditation and was frustrated because I just couldn't sit there noticing my breath for any length of time. Thank goodness there's more than one type of meditation. I'm so glad this worked for me. Will it work for you? I don't know. Download the app and try it out. Breath and Heart from I Am Heart. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Relatively Damaged by Damaged Parents. We really enjoyed talking to Charity about the stories we tell ourselves. We especially liked when she spoke about the bullet hole-sized wounds and how to heal from them. To unite with other damaged people, connect with us on Instagram. Look for Damaged Parents. We'll be here next week, still relatively damaged. See you then.